Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
welcome to Strange Surrounding Secret Universe. It's our 50th episode. I had 50 great episodes. And tonight, I have one of my favorite authors, a very important man. He has wrote a lot of books dedicated to the Illuminati, the bloodlines, and mind control victims of the Illuminati. Let's talk to him. Fritz Springmeier.
Hello, Lauren. Hello, all your listeners.
Good evening. Good evening, Fritz. It's a honor for you to be here tonight. Like I was telling you before the show, I think the Bloodlines Illuminati is one of the most important books that I've ever read.
Well, thank you. I just wish every public library had it. I walk into these public libraries. You know, I'm a researcher, so I go to libraries quite often. And you look at all the junk that they're spending money on, and you think, you know, I don't care what your political persuasion is. The Bloodlines of the Illuminati book has all kinds of important genealogy charts in it. In the front and the back, there's a genealogy chart that shows how 25 American presidents are closely related. That's history. And that just that chart alone is worth more than what is the kind of stuff that you find that they're filling up these libraries with vampire books and zombie books and stuff like that. And it kind of breaks a person's heart to see what kind of junk they're feeding the public.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy, Fritz, is people are worried about this zombie takeover, this zombie apocalypse, but most Americans are not aware, nor do they even care about what's going on behind closed doors with the Illuminati.
Yeah, well, and the Illuminati's having their, you know, the Bilderbergers are having their big meeting, and
Australia, right?
So they are literally behind closed doors.
I seen it somewhere. I think it was on InfoWars or something that there were Cobra Secret Service men up on the roof guarding that. You know, it just seems like in the time we're living in right now, Fritz, the American people's eyes are starting to wake, but there is a lot of there's an agenda going on right now, especially with the gender bending, and I wanted to mention that, especially with the Caitlyn Jenner thing, and then, you know, and that's one of the biggest things that the Illuminati does to movie stars and also people in the media is they dehumanize them. But they demasculinize them too. You know, they do demasculinize. And I think that the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing was all strategically placed and happening to get our minds off of the conflicts with the other countries right now, because it's heating up, Fritz. It really is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's always a lot of distraction, and then the point you were making, how they dehumanize us, in their own documents, they talk about how they're going to bring us down to an animal level. It reminds me so much of what the Nazis did in World War II with the Jews. They dehumanized them. They would crowd them into ghettos. The people would be starving, can't take care of themselves. And then because they were a mess, then they would use that to further, you know, to go even further and say, well, see, they're not humans. Look how wretched they are. They don't even bathe, or they don't take care of themselves, or whatever. Well, but the fact is that they had been dehumanized by the people that were slandering them. And the same thing has happened to us today. You know, they're laughing at us. You know, their companies feed us junk food, and then they think that we're not fit to survive because we're fat and we're eating junk food. You know, they dissociate themselves from the fact that they created the problem.
And, you know, they create these products for us to eat. And you know, all of it is basically cancer-causing elements. And all this food that, you know, these big companies that, you know, it's controlled by these people. And so I want to take me back to 1990s. So what made you choose to riot? And I know you've probably caught a lot of hell since then with the government and other stuff, and we can talk about that too. But take me back to 90, whenever you decided to write this book. What inspired you, and just what, and we can talk about what it came to, but what inspired you to write that book?
Okay, well, it was a process. In 1978, I felt a calling to expose the corruption in the Christian churches, expose the world. I started doing that, and then people talked me out of doing it. So for about 10 years there, I didn't do it. And, of course, kind of got was unfulfilled, was kind of lost in what I was doing. And one of the things that I had started doing in the 1980s was, and this is really strange, but I became a Christian missionary to Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, generally, it's the other way around. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to Christian homes, the Christians slam the door in their face. But I looked at these people as a missionary field. And so I was praying, you know, Lord, give me the ability to decapitate the authoritarian head over these little peons with their book bags in the street. And the authoritarian head over the Jehovah's Witnesses is the Watchtower Society, Bethel headquarters, located in Brooklyn, New York. So I was praying, and we had two libraries. Both libraries were kind of identical. They had everything that the Watchtower Society had ever put out. And not only the Watchtower Society, but the breakoff groups from the Watchtower Society. So, you know, we had everything from back to day one. And so I was researching this kind of material, and I noticed that Charles Taze Russell, you know, looked like a Freemason. It's sort of like, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you know, it's a duck. Well, anyway, he looked like a Freemason, wrote like a Freemason. And then I found in a few places where it notated that he was a Freemason. And then I got inside information that the heads of the Watchtower Society, the string pullers, they would just get on the phone to the string pullers of the LDS Mormon Church in Salt Lake City, and they would talk. In other words, what I had bumped into was the Illuminati. And at that point, I went back to my original calling, which I had from 1978. It was a calling that I'd put on the shelf, but I realized I needed to go back to what I'd been called to do, and that's why I got back into exposing the Illuminati. And that's kind of in a nutshell how I came in. I came back in through the back door. I didn't realize that in challenging the Watchtower Society, that I was going to end up challenging the Illuminati, but that's what happened.
Now, whenever you were going back and checking these genealogies for all these different power families, I can only imagine that the interconnection there probably totally, it was a big shock, I can imagine, just of where all the lines connected.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlapping, but generally, what's even a little bit more perhaps shocking is you take a family like the Rothschilds, they intentionally try to interbreed. In fact, it was in the will of Amschel Rothschild that his descendants, if they wanted to be included in the money, had to keep the bloodline within that bloodline, that they had to be incestuous or whatever. So, they interbreed within their own bloodlines. That's one. And sometimes that's not so apparent because the strand might be like a rope where there's three strands interweaving. So you have to sort of look from one generation to the next to see that how they're mixing together. And this is not something that's really unusual for these people, because if you were to get to know these elite very intimately, you would see that they have been doing things like breeding horses, breeding dogs. You know, they've been in the breeding business for centuries, and so it stands to reason that they're interested in good breeding of their own selves, and of course that's why it's so important that if you grow up in one of those families, there'll be a lot of pressure on you to marry a certain person.
Yeah. Now, I've done a lot of research into this about these bloodlines inbreeding and stuff like that. Now, and I think there was a institution in Delaware, and it allegedly had broken glass on top of the roof where there was nobody allowed inside and out, and that a lot of these deformities and pretty much misfits of Illuminati inbreeding experiments, if you will, to keep the bloodline pure, they stick these people, they hide them away in these facilities. It's basically hiding in plain sight what they're really doing,
Mm-hmm. True.
Now, Fritz, you wrote the book. Now, what kind of flack did you get from the book, and who was, did you get any calls at night? Did you get any death threats, anything like that? Fill me in a little bit on that.
Well, the Bloodlines of the Illuminati book was just one of a series. It was a 7-book series that told the who, what, where, how, when. So there was a number of other books involved, and and so the heat I got, you can't separate the heat I got and say it was exclusively because of the Bloodlines book. The first book.
I wanted to say too, that Fritz, you wrote another book after that that reached all the people's mind that was affected by these families during the years too, and I wanted to commend you on that too. That was very, very important, which you gave a warning before anybody to read the book, that if you went through any of these, please notify somebody that if you're talking, like a doctor or a head doctor or whatever, if before getting into this stuff, because it was very the programming is very complex, and if the wrong person if a person would just that's been through this would jump through it, just jump to this stuff, it could have very devastating effects for everything to come back all at once. Is that right?
Yes. I will phrase it this way for your audience. The Illuminati have been carrying out a trauma-based total mind control for many centuries, and part of that programming, mind control programming, is they put suicide programs in that if you talk or you find out if your mind thinks the wrong things or if you discover certain things that you're not supposed to discover, you know, that you will go into the suicide programming. So the materials that I put out, there were three books, Lauren, on the mind control. There was one book which I call the Formula Book and its sequel, The Deeper Insights, and then there was a third one that's out of print. But if somebody who's been subjected to the trauma-based mind control, this total programming, were to read some of the things within these books, they would definitely go into suicide programming. Now, that doesn't mean that they would necessarily die. Typically, what's happened is women will not act on the suicide programming as much as men. What I mean by that is some of these people that were in the Illuminati that I was helping, if they started going into a suicide program, let's say that says they're to cut, you might be able to give them a plastic knife or a plastic pair of scissors, and they could act it out. But if you had a man, men tend not to act out the suicide programming. They just go and do it. So it's even deadlier if you're dealing with men that have been subjected to this programming.
That's really disturbing. Now, do you have people that contact you about deep programming and things of that nature?
Lauren, they're contacting me constantly, and the thing of it is it's really sad because people, you know, even today, I mean, people are contacting me and say, "You're my only hope. You're the only person that's going to understand this." And so forth and so forth, and I'm not in a position to help these people. One of the first things that these people need is a safe place, and I can't give anybody a safe place. They need a safe place for a number of reasons, but in order for the mind to relax, for you to be able to deal with the deeper programming, the person's mind has to feel safe. And then there's other reasons, too, why you need a safe place, because if they can be easily accessed, it's just one step forward, two steps back. If you do any positive work, the other side is right there to unravel it and make things worse. So I don't even like to try to help someone long distance, because I know from experience it's just going to make things worse.
And then also, for it, we have to mention that, you know, due to the Stockholm Syndrome and all these other things, that generally the victim will make contact with the cult again while in the, trying to separate them from the cult. A lot of times they will make contact again and pretty much give their whereabouts and everything known.
Well, let's put it this way, Lauren. It's not they probably will, but the way this programming is set up, which works off of multiple personality disorder, which is now called DID, but there are specific alters, specific personalities created that will contact the cult, will contact the programmer, the handler. It's not a maybe. It is 100% guaranteed. I can tell you that there is no question that if someone like me was the start to help someone who had been a victim of the mind control, it's 100% guaranteed that they, that part of their mind will turn around and report to the handler what's going on.
And, so, then, yeah, and then ultimately that puts your life in danger.
Well, it puts their life in more danger than mine, because the reason, one of the reasons why they haven't made more effort to kill me, I mean, they have tried a number of times, but the thing is that they have confidence. Nobody can really tamper with what they have done. And yeah, in general, that's pretty much the truth, is that very, very seldom do people break free. And so they've got a lot of confidence. So they're really not that concerned that even someone like myself, who knows a lot of, you know, I put in the formula book, I put 40 pages of programming codes, you know, but they're still using those codes and still have a lot of confidence that nobody can touch what they're doing.
Now, during the 2000s, that was, you know, I'm sure that was, do you think that the Illuminati or higher-ups had anything to do with your legal troubles in the 2000s?
Exactly who gave the green light? I mean, I don't know the specific, all the specifics. I can say this, that I was warned ahead of time that it was going to happen, but my choices were, am I going to run and hide, which makes me look guilty? And if I ran and hide, I would have to run and hide nowadays, where I would be always on the run. You know, that would effectively take me out of the picture. I would be effectively taking myself out of the picture and not have a life, you know? And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to music. And if God wants me on the outside, he'll protect me from the false accusations. And if not, if he doesn't, help protect me and I go to prison, then that's his will, and I will deal with that as it comes. So my attorney, when they charged me, he went to one of his friends who had retired from federal law enforcement, and his friend said, oh, he was speaking for the feds. He said, oh yeah, we've been trying to put him in prison for years. So, the federal government, at least on that level, and I would anticipate that, you know, it was definitely the Freemasons and Illuminati involved, because I haven't really done that anything to the federal government. It's really higher than that. It's the secret government beyond our government that I've really antagonized.
I don't think anybody made that pyramid of these of putting all these different families together. And I think that you were martyrized for that too. I think that these books, not only did they help people, but it laid down the foundation and where all the lines point to, and really how all these families are intertwined together. And there was a movie. Did you get to see Foxcatcher?
No, I didn't. I will put that on my list of movies to watch. Foxcatcher.
Now it was about John DuPont, and you know what's perfect is John DuPont is a perfect example of Illuminati inbreeding. You know, he is, before he shot and killed this, and before I get into what he did, The Illuminati, they, you know, a lot of times they get close to the these people that they can never be, such as movie stars, artists, people of just these people that they could never be. And that's what John DuPont did. He tried to be an Olympian. He's like a pentathlon athlete. But only way he could ever be anything is if he bought his way in. And he took a liking to these two brothers and got one of them on drugs and all this other stuff and ultimately shot the other one. But see, that's what happens. They live vicariously through these people. And then ultimately, it never ends good.
Right. Yeah, as you know, he used his home for a training center for the Olympics.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
He had shot his homosexual lover, Dave Schultz. But when the police came, they handled him with kids' gloves. You know,
they said that his house was a firing range for the police and all this other stuff and sent so much contributions. And see, and that's the connection, is a lot of times you can't go to the cops because the cops are already bought in or in the circle too. And that's
a
dangerous
definitely.
Thing.
Oh, definitely. I think the biggest evidence that's it's a bit visible, it's like a neon sign that everybody should be seeing, is we have had, and I can't pull up the exact number right now, but it's in the neighborhood of like 40 or 50 bankers that have been killed. And some of these men that have been killed, you know, they were happy and doing well in life, and then they fall from the top of a skyscraper, or they have, you know, six or more nails from a nail gun shot into them. And every time it's been ruled a suicide, even though it's blatantly obvious it was a murder, and the police have not investigated any of these banker murders. And that ought to show you how powerful the Illuminati are and that the police have been corrupted or tainted or controlled, that they would not investigate any of these murders.
And, you know,
In fact, the Illuminati hierarchy told me they were going to do this and that they have a secret assassination squad assigned to take out these bankers. So I even know who's doing it, and yet the police are totally uninterested in solving these crimes. They just label them all as suicide.
There's been a lot of there was also a I think it was in New York or somewhere around the East Coast where this predominant lawyer I think it was in Maryland or D.C., this government affiliated lady and her husband or something like that, their whole family was all found dead, you know, and the same pattern is there. It's people that are, it's one, you know, they say that it was suicide, or they'll say it was a murder-suicide, you know, by the family. And then, you know, what's really funny is these people's Facebook posts are talking about going on vacations and going here and doing this and doing that. And there is no negativity or anything that would put that the suicide factotum in that picture. But see, that's what they do. Also, you know, I wanted, while we got a few more minutes, I wanted to, now, you've got a blog and a website I want to tell these great people about. How can we find more stuff from you now, Fritz?
Okay. Well, to start off with, they can go to my website, pentracks.com, PENTRACKS.com. Pen like you write with a pen, tracks like the tracks that a bunny rabbit makes in the snow, pentracks.com, and that's where you can get my books. And I'm in the process of creating an even better website. Like today and yesterday and the day before, you can see I do it almost daily. I write articles that are posted on Facebook. Now, in order to get to the right location, the people are going to have to hunt around because there's several Facebook sites that use my name but aren't my actual Facebook page. So when you see me in with the banner picture in front of a cave, and then the small little picture that's the Facebook representation picture of me is me holding a book in front of my face. That's my actual Facebook page. And people are welcome to come and read my articles. They're open to the public. And if you have a reason, you know, a specific reason for us to be friends, let me know, and we can be Facebook friends. Right now I have, I've lost track, over 1,000 friends on Facebook. So at some point I'm gonna max out. For the time being, people can, if there's a reason, become my Facebook friend. But they're welcome to read the articles without that. You can follow me and read the articles.
That's awesome. Now, what's the future hold for Fritz?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, it depends on which subject you're wanting to discuss. You know, I mean, whether you're wanting to talk about what's the future of automobiles, you know, they're trying to take our different features that we use, you know, like our cell phones and stuff, and integrate those into the cars and work the cars up to the point that in the future we won't be driving them. They will drive themselves. If we're talking about the U.S. economy, why, there's going to be a collapse. There's going to be a meltdown of the dollar. It's unavoidable. It's not a question of if it will happen. The question is when it will happen. And it's not going to be pretty. I've been talking about how the IMF, which is Illuminati run, is poised to make China a reserve currency in October, in the third week of October. Now, Christine Lagarde, she's one of the top Illuminati members. She's on a seven-member board of directors. Christine Lagarde, head of the IMF, and her second in command is from China, and he has been going around saying that China will be made by the IMF a world reserve currency this year. What he's saying. I mean, you know, I don't have a crystal ball or a time machine to go forward and verify that they will follow through on that, but if China has made a reserve currency, which they're trying very hard to become, you know, the United States, if we're dethroned, we have been getting a free ride. I don't want to take too much time explaining it, but the reason why the United States has been able to just create money out of thin air and our economy not go into crazy inflation or collapse is because we're the world's reserve currency. So if we increase the amount of U.S. dollars out there, it's like a secret tax on the entire world, because there are more U.S. dollars held outside of the United States by foreigners than what are held by Americans in America. So we've been getting a free ride. without being fiscally responsible. And so when that crash comes, when the United States has a meltdown, that's going to affect the rest of the world. So there'll be a global economic meltdown. And that's going to change our lives. You know, we're going to have some really nasty inflation. And right now we've got 46 million Americans on food stamps. You know, it's as bad a situation as during the Great Depression. It's just being covered up better. And so,
and I think that we've been in World War III since 2001, but nobody wants to really admit it.
We're in the precursor of something, that's for sure. And we've entered into a new Cold War era between Russia and the United States. This whole thing that's heated up in the Ukraine may one day be just like the precursor to something larger. And we've got blocks of countries out there that are connected together, the BRICS, and BRICS standing for, as the listeners probably know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And they are working together. They are working together to take the United States down. Russia and China are conducting economic war against the United States. They're not our friends. And hopefully the listeners to this program, if they're not aware of that, will become aware that Russia and China are not our friends.
Yeah, of course not. Now, Fritz, is there a project or a new? Now, I know you've already moved mountains, and will always, in my opinion, be one of the most important authors in this topic in history, in my opinion. Your work really means a lot to me and speaks volumes in the research. So is there any new books that you're thinking about maybe writing or anything like that?
Well, I have a number of books in the, you know, like irons in the fire, so to speak. I decided, you know, one of the books that I had started, I decided to shelve the project, and that was I was going to expose the National Football League and, you know, professional sports, the corruption, anything involving large sums of money. The big boys, the elite, are going to be corrupting it. I've made enough enemies, and I decided I have to feel inspired that there's a reason for me to expose something. And even though I did research on this for a number of years, I just decided to drop that. I have another book project, Understanding the Illuminati, which is an excellent book to bring the common person in. It's like, you know, buying an almanac or something. It's a distillation of what the Illuminati is all about. And the thing that's held that up is just not having the funds and the time to complete it. There's a lot probably that could be accomplished if I had the resources. I'm just one person, and and of course I get pressured like a lot of other people. And feel fortunate that I'm holding up, considering all the different pressures that are brought against me.
I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that, you know, everything's good, you know, good in your life right now. You know, I'm glad that, seems like, you know, you were put on this earth to do great things, and you were able to help so many people. And I expose everything that you discuss, expose all this stuff on my show, and I'm just honored to have you as a guest and to spread your message, your word, give your story, because it's a powerful one, and it's came with much trials and tribulations.
Yes, it definitely is, and I think that's one reason why I was called for this work, is that I have been willing to lose everything except my life for this work, and there's very few people, and most people would actually even consider that insanity, not to be concerned that you're not going to get rich, not to be concerned about all these things that have so much meaning. But the thing is when you understand what the Illuminati's agenda is, for instance, that a large number of us are slated for genocide, you know, and the wars that they create, like World War I and World War II, and all of the toxins and all the other stuff that they're doing, and the vaccinations that they're making mandatory, when one understands all of the things that they're doing, and then traumatizing and programming little children with this trauma-based mind control, you know, sexually molesting children on a regular basis. When you understand all of this, then you can see why I'm highly motivated to do what I'm doing.
Of course. And I commend you for that. And, you know, you're somebody that I always keep in high regard.
Well, thank you, Lon.
And I want you nothing but the best. And I want you to come back on and we can follow up on what you're doing. And maybe, you know, I know you're just one person, but sometimes you need help from others. And if there's anything I can ever do for you, you let me know.
Thank you, Lauren. And, yeah, I would enjoy coming back on. Let's do this again. And I'll definitely make time in my schedule for a follow-up show.
Oh, that sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. I want you to have a great weekend, Fritz. And thanks for coming to Strange Around Secret Universe.
Okay. I'm assuming that this is the end of the program.
This would be it. I say a nice little one liner, then cue the music. But thank you, Fritz, and the Illuminati, mind control. It happens every day. Till next week on Strange Surrounding, Secret Universe.
Early
thank you, Lord.
One morning at the St. James Hospital. Early one morning, morning the month of May. When I looked through the window and I spied a dear cowboy, a dear cowboy as cold as the clay. Sit ye down by me and hear my sad story. Sit ye down by me and sing me a song. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy that knowed it done wrong. Send for that doctor to come and heal up my body, and send for the preacher to come and pray for my soul.